This week on the program, has a film about the undead smelled this much like stale beer? It's John Carpenter's Vampires. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, that's right, John Carpenter's Vampires from 1998, directed by Preston Sturges. Also John Carpenter.
This was the one he did after the Gulliver's Travels.
Preston Sturges.
Yeah, this is his follow-up.
It was the follow-up to Gulliver's Travels.
By the way,
this ties into our Patreon episode this month, which is going to be on The Thing, another John Carpenter, a better John Carpenter film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a movie about being terrified about catching something. So that'll be just in time for Halloween.
I mean, vampirism is also something that's like, oh, am I going to catch it? And it's like, I wish that was the pandemic right now because I already can't go outside in the daylight.
Sure, fuck it.
You know, I might as well like have a nice ravenous nightlife like a vampire would.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're a sexy person for the rest of your life. First of all, I've never been a sexy person. So I think becoming a vampire would make me sexy.
It would be life-changing and death-changing as well. I mean,
you have to become an expert in capes.
Yes.
Like you need to know which one for which kind of night. I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
Although these vampires aren't terribly sexy.
Well, that's the thing about this movie and why I will say up front, I didn't see this in the theaters, but I have seen this movie probably close to 20 times.
What in the world?
That's insane.
Because I can't remember if it was a thing where I had it on like the early days of DVD or if it was like taped off of HBO or something.
This was a big TBS TNT-er. I remember that.
Huh. I've never liked this movie somehow. Last night didn't change my opinion, but I never got into it.
I never saw it in full. I saw parts of it, and then watching it today, I realized why, because I had to bail, because it really drags at a certain point.
Yes.
And for a movie that's 108 minutes, too, that's unfortunate, because it's such a contained story.
But,
you know, it's very simple, like, we have to go do this before this time, and then that's it.
It's
but at the same
simple.
Time, you're like, we are dragging ass.
I will say, the one thing about this movie is I actually was never bored. This movie does not bore me. It's just stupid as all hell.
Hey, were Chris, you entranced by the hair dye?
It's Thomas Ian Griffith we're talking about here.
Yes,
sir.
True.
I just look at him.
Chris, I want to run something by you. I wrote down in my notes, I came up with an alternate title for this.
Uh-huh.
From Dusk Till Don't.
Uh-huh. You know what? I think we should workshop it a little bit, but I think it's a good starting place.
I'm going to crack a beer. It's the apocalypse, guys.
Yeah,
I should.
We should start drinking on the air. You're right.
Oh, already drinking.
Oh, I've been drinking. This owes a lot to From Dusk Till Dawn. That's a really good point.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's like what I was going to say was it's why I think it kind of appealed to me is because I don't think I saw From Dusk Till Dawn until much later.
Oh, that's the thing.
But it's a movie where I was just so sort of fascinated by scumbag vampire hunters.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is. These are scumbag vampire hunters hunting scumbag vampires.
The script and the movie was supposed to be filmed in 1994, like From Dusk Till Dawn. It was supposed to come out at the same time, but there was fucking 4 years of negotiations between James Woods and Daniel Baldwin about who gets to say bitch the most in this movie. It went on for 4 years, and they were like, we're going to top it out at 700.
Jimmy, I need to take the crown here. Jimmy, I need the crown.
Here's the thing, though, about that crown, because, Steve, you mentioned something similar yesterday when you were watching it about them saying bitch all the time. So I was on Bitch Watch when I was screening it today. The first bitch does not happen until like 52 minutes into the movie. But from there,
it is a leaky faucet.
Cavalcade. Dude, yeah, the fucking plug from the dam, man. Well,
the weirdest thing is I think that Carpenter isn't a misogynistic director. Like, he's a dude director in terms of, like, he's done movies that are mostly centered around men, etc. But, like, women are either, like, done justice or not. But, like, it's not, like, this is, like, a straight-up, like, misogynistic vampire movie.
But why that is, though, is...
James Woods?
Well, yeah. But I think what they're doing here is, like, oh, it's fine because she's a monster.
Sure, right. But then the thing is, the way to fix that part of this movie is you make this priest character, the second priest, he needs to be a woman. It's a nun, and now we're doing something.
Sure, yeah, that's a good call.
Could use a super nun.
Who could hold the screen like Tim Guinea, though?
That's nobody. True.
I mean, come on, look at the guy. It's just a charisma factory.
By the way, folks, I went on Wikipedia right before this, and there was a little thing about this movie was almost... And I think this was like when Carpenter wasn't involved, but it was almost Dolph Lundgren with Willem Dafoe as possibly the vampire.
Better movie. Yeah, better movie. Yeah, better movie.
And, well, also, this is based on a book. I mean, the movie is really simple. It's John Carpenter's vampires. It's just, it's a James Woods is a vampire hunter with Daniel Baldwin as kind of his sidekick. And they're hunting down a vampire played. A vampire king kind of dude played by Thomas Ian Griffith. But this movie is based on a book, which I do want to read only for the title.
I do too. Yep.
Cause it's vampire dollar sign as the S and you know, that's excellent.
Oh, absolutely. And also I would hope that whenever I get around to reading vampire dollar sign, the movie changed it completely because you know what vampire dollar sign is? That's a story about a person working at a vampire casino. Gambling for the undead, ladies and gentlemen.
Shit, this is a million-dollar idea.
Oh, like old folklore, how vampires have to count like beans and stuff you throw on the floor in front of them. Like, they count cards.
Vampire casino will bleed you dry.
Yes, and instead of craps, they play crips. It's all right there.
I don't know if you guys, because I'm in Jersey and they do online gambling is legal. I get all of these like scumbag, like, you could do an online casino, man. It's going to change your life. It's like, I fucking won a lot of money. My mother won money. We're all winning money here on the online vampire casino.
Online vampire casino or just online New Jersey casino.
Sure.
Just reeks of the McMillions scandal.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, it's yeah, it's me, and then my ma, and then my aunt, and my aunt's neighbor. We all won at the Vegas Jersey.
So, a quick story. This guy I knew in high school did not like him. His father worked with my mom. His father, a doctor, so a little rich boy.
fuck you, doctor kids.
So I find out what maybe 5 years ago, I just like for some reason we're talking about this guy. And so what's going on with the what's his name? You know, the son. He's like, oh yeah, he had to sell his beach house and another of his car because he got into online gambling. And he thought and like he thought he was going to be like the guy with the shades in the poker tournament.
Oh man,
it's a bad problem. Especially I can imagine right now people are like, well, that's how I could make money. And it's like, dude, do not fuck with the online gambling.
Don't yeah, you too could be the next what's his name, Negreanu.
Daniel Negreanu.
Yeah,
that's
what,
right.
What is that guy?
He's poker. A professional poker player.
Oh, wow.
He's the one with the shades, man.
Cabin, they're all wearing shades.
So we start at a, as James Woods puts it, a New Mexico shithole.
Right, and he's wearing shades because he's a professional vampire hunter.
And how I would always love to be introduced in a motion picture, Daniel Baldwin taking a piss on the side of the road.
There, another IMDb trivia. Did you hear that? Did you hear this? Did you see this?
Did you hear about this?
It's late
night
television.
Some guy crossed the street.
They Alec Baldwin took this role and then had it for a little while and then was like, oh, I can't do it. Why don't you cast Daniel Baldwin?
Wow.
I would say what happened probably was that John Carpenter got Daniel Baldwin and just was like, act like Alec.
Yes.
Just do an impression of Alec. That's the best thing you can do.
That's what life told him to do, not John Carpenter.
I'm saying, true. But I don't think it's good anywhere else. Here it is.
Well, he was in, now, I since we did Death Wish 4, The Crackdown, I watched that Charles Bronson impersonator's movie Death Kiss, which is a loose sequel to the Death Wish franchise. And sure. Daniel Baldwin plays like the man cow-esque radio DJ talking about the scum of the street and whatever. And it is straight up just an Alec Baldwin impression.
That's, I mean, it's weird because like they're brothers. So like, sure, they might sound a little the same. I don't know.
Stephen Baldwin. He sounds yes, he a little does. Different.
And yeah. So does Billy Baldwin. I feel like Daniel is the one that, because he looks the most sort of like Alec, or at least like rotund Alec.
Right.
It, like, it's sort of.
Could you say that again?
Rotund Alec.
I love it.
Well, he was the one that, the only clone of Alec that they kept.
Yes.
The rest of them, they had to go away. You know, they were in the jars and everything.
Well, he even has the same, like, gait that Alec yes. Baldwin. Like I didn't really notice this with Alec Baldwin until 30 Rock, because so much of that show was, like, walk and talk. Like, the way Alec Baldwin kind of carries himself, Daniel Baldwin carries himself exactly the same way in this movie.
And, like, it's because he plays the same kind of characters. Like, Billy Baldwin is always, like, the hunk of the Baldwins, if you will.
Sure.
Then you got your Stephen Baldwin. You know, he did some, like, he was, like, always, like, the young Baldwin, but also would, like, do cool, like, trying to be the cool Baldwin, I guess.
Right, Biodome.
Biodome for sure.
Was he also, the only the one, Lord Jesus Christ?
Was he the only one who tried to be funny?
I think that's true too. Yeah, I think he's the funny Baldwin. I think. Do you think at some point in the 1980s, Adam Baldwin was at like a diner, and then like all four Baldwin brothers showed up, like, "Hey man, wrong name, wrong decade, wrong diner,"
and then they kicked him out.
Hey Alec, come on, you got to patch me in. You got to patch me in with you guys. Come on.
I would love to see like a Baldwin battle royale. By the way, Alec is pretty funny, right? We were just talking about 30 Rock.
He's very funny. Yes, in 30 Rock.
In 30 Rock, he's really funny.
That sort of came later, though, for him.
True.
He was like, yeah, that was like his turn. So yeah, I mean, like,
he's. I will say just really quickly, he's very funny in Jonathan Demme's Married to the Mob.
And also, yep. Beetlejuice is pretty comedic.
That's yep, fair.
Oh, that's true.
I'm wrong. How about that?
No, but you are right, though, Steve, that those roles for Alec Baldwin were few and far between earlier on. And now it's kind of like, well, now it's just fucking Donald Trump on SNL.
They were second to the fact that he was a hunk. Like, yes. Stephen Baldwin is not a hunk, but Alec was a fucking hunk.
Oh yeah,
Christine. My fucking god!
Isolate that audio.
I mean, have you seen Working Girls, ladies and gentlemen? Ladies and gentlemen, have you seen Working?
No,
Girls?
No, I haven't.
I'm gonna trump you hunk wise. Billy Baldwin was like a model, you
that
know.
Was like, but that's a different type of hunk. That's like the slender model.
Got it.
Right? And like Alec is like, you want a big guy to bomp you or whatever.
You don't get bomped by a slim guy, dude.
And also, Billy Baldwin didn't get like a good. I'm trying to think of movies like other than Sliver, and then he got good in like The Squid and the Whale.
He's got Backdraft, which I think is a Stay Tuned
Virus.
For this feed.
Oh, Virus.
Oh, man. Yeah, both of those are Stay Tuned. Yeah,
he's fucking Cindy Crawford in that one movie, Fair Game.
Oh,
yes. My God, I watched that a lot as a young man.
Do you know? Here's a little bit of a tidbit. Did you know that's that? Is based on the same book as Cobra.
I did not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what movie is based on
Fair
the same
Game.
Book? Is that right?
Yeah.
Is Billy Baldwin cutting pizza with scissors is my question.
No, he is.
And Cindy Crawford is the pizza, if you know what I mean.
So they're scumbag vampire hunters. There's a ton of them in the beginning of this movie.
It's a real team here. And this is, it's a thing where it's like, I get it, economical storytelling, you want to pare this team down, but it would be rad to have like some kind of prequel to this movie where these guys are going around killing people, especially very entertaining in these early scenes, a very young Mark Boone Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's weird. It's because they're not nobodies. You know what I mean? Like, they cast people here.
One of the guys is the dude who played Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat.
Yes, who's also awesome.
I feel like if Carpenter calls, even if it's like low pay, like you get in there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, dude. John Carpenter asked me to be in a movie. I'll be there yesterday.
Well, this is a dark time for Carpenter, which I guess sort of still is.
I don't know
if the clouds have ever really truly lifted since the
Well, that's 90s. I was looking at that myself, actually. And this is, it is right after Escape from L.A. is when he does this, and which
I still like Escape from LA. I'm kind of a contrarian in that regard, but after that, he doesn't really have much, right?
You got Ghosts of Mars, which is bad. The Ward, which I straight up turned off.
Yeah, I heard nothing but bad things. I think I didn't go in for it.
I could, yeah.
I'm not crazy about The Ward, but I do kind of like Ghosts of Mars.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, so much of that was that fucking heinous soundtrack, though.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to get fucking, this is the Carpenter fart guitar era.
Dude, I gotta give it another chance.
This guitar is nuts. I'm sorry.
Because it starts in The Mouth of Madness. That also has a fart guitar, but it's a little better than this.
In The Mouth of Madness was better when I rewatched it pretty recently. I was like, that's a really good movie.
It's a good enough movie.
I think that's a good movie. That's, I think, his best movie of the 90s, because he did that right before Escape from L.A. Escape from L.A. 96, Village of the Damned 95. Not a good movie.
Fun cast, though.
Yes, absolutely. In The Mouth of Madness, and then... You can catch this on Shudder. I think it's kind of, it's like half worth your time. Body Bags.
It's exactly half worth your time.
Yeah. But so much of it, I think, is Carpenter acting in the movie as like the Crypt Keeper surrogate kind of character. Oh, and then also, Jesus, you can't forget 1992. A definite stay tuned, Memoirs of an Invisible Man. So this team is—they're hunting down a nest of goons, as they're calling them. Looking for the master, and you see the whole like process here. Like it is—it's a fun way of hunting vamps. You know, they're like dragging them out into the sunlight, and
it is—it's fun. But you know, it's kind of horrific in that regard, because you're looking for the master, and you got a house full of subs. It's like, dude, yep. Come on! I want to get domed here.
I want to get masturbator out here.
Oh my god!
But I do like the idea of shooting these vampires with arrows that have this retractable like wire that is attached to Daniel Baldwin's pickup truck, and he like backs up in reverse and brings them out into the sunlight, and they explode in quite a fashion. And Andrew, James Woods even says "Crispy Critters."
He does. Oh man, I did light up at that "Crispy Critters" line.
I love that. Here's an idea for. I mean, uh-huh. It makes sense. Yeah, the idea is you go in, you hook them, and like someone has a truck. Usually, it's Daniel Baldwin. Like, let's go fucking fishing, and they drag them out, and they burn, and they burn hilariously. Why not burn the house down? That's the move. And then then what's gonna happen? They can't go anywhere. It's fucking 2 p.m.
Do you think David Koresh was a vampire?
Absolutely.
And the ATF is a secret like vampire hunting organization.
That was, one of the disappointing parts about that Paramount Network miniseries starring Taylor Kitsch is they left out all the parts about David Koresh being a vampire.
Yeah.
That's why
it just weakened the story.
Yeah, he needed virginal blood.
They both called a bunch of women their brides, so.
Yeah. Very true, Chris. One thing we do have to mention, James Woods is whatever Jack Crow, but dude, Daniel Baldwin playing Montoya. Okay.
Tony Montoya.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I kept thinking about Al Pacino, even though that's Tony Montana, but still.
But I don't know what fucking bacon grease he's putting in his hair, dude. It is jet black, which is not the Daniel Baldwin I know and love. I guess from Homicide. But you know, like it's just, you know, he's just not. It's like it's a bad look, I think.
Steve, it's always bacon grease. It's actual bacon grease. That's what he does to suck it all back.
One for you, one for me, one for you. He's just scooping bacon grease out of a jar.
I prepared this bacon while I bathed.
The other thing I fucking love about fucking Montoya is that he has a fucking customer service headset on.
And
it just looks so silly on his huge head.
It's so fucking funny. This little headset is hanging on by a thread.
Did you put a heavy load in your dryer? Well,
That might have done it. Well, you know what? We're going to send out a technician.
Hold on. I've got a vampire on line three. Burn, motherfucker, burn. Are you calling about Maytag repair or vampire hunting? Please press one or two.
Look, it's hard times out here. I have to have two jobs. And it takes all day to do this, dragging these vampires out.
You know, if you're not going to unplug it, I'm going to hang up. If you unplug it and replug it back in, or else we've got nothing to talk about.
Look, you put the dishwasher liquid in the little space. You don't drizzle it all over the dishes. That's not how it works.
Oh, and I can't stress this enough. Garbage goes in the garbage can, folks, okay?
I had a customer service thing. I was ordering a bookshelf from a website I'm not going to name. Went through four different variations. It kept coming in wrong. First, they sent me the wrong pieces. Then they sent me the wrong bookshelf. Then they sent me a metal grate for no reason.
Did you have to send any of this back?
They were cool enough. They're like, just throw it away. So like, okay.
Oh, that's great.
Exactly. So, but like every time you call, it's a very like sweet Midwestern woman, like, oh my goodness, sir, that's terrible. Oh gosh, did that happen? Oh, that's ridiculous. And the last one I got was this guy, and I'm fucking at the end of it here. I'm like, I want all my money refunded. This fucking thing is ridiculous. And I don't blow up on customer service people. I'm not doing that at the time. I'm just explaining, but I'm pretty heated. And I'm like, listen, I want my money back. He's like, oh gosh, sir, that's ridiculous. You know, this sounds like something out of a movie. I gotta give you your money back.
What kind of movies does this guy watch? Boring instructional videos?
And the other thing was, he was like, oh, sir, you're going to have to give me a minute. I cut my finger the other day and I had to get stitches. So I'm a little slow in typing this down. And I'm like, dude, I have no time for this.
We all watch Far Go. This guy watches Far Don't. Am I right, folks?
Oh, that's like something out of a movie.
You mean Far Stop? Work?
Yeah, Far Stop. Far Don't.
Well,
it's if the show is called Far Do.
Hold on a second. Don't has an O in it. I almost said zero, but I realized that's not a letter. It's got a big fucking zero in it.
Uh-huh.
So they fucking kill all these vampires, and we are cutting heads off.
The violence in this movie makes it sort of worth watching. It's pretty extreme.
I do want to point out that we do have special effects here being put on by Kurtzman and Nicotero. So you know that these dudes know what they're doing, and the practical effects in this movie are fucking awesome.
It looks great. It really does. Yep. By the way, James Woods in this movie throughout is dressed like how you would dress Arnold Schwarzenegger in your movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like a black t-shirt, leather jacket, and stonewashed jeans.
It's a Cobra look, actually.
It doesn't work on James Woods, though.
Does not at all.
That's not how James Woods tells it.
He doesn't really work in this movie doing what he's doing. I don't know. Something about it just reads off.
He's not meant for this type of leading man role.
No,
honestly.
Definitely not.
I don't need to see him in like paranormal action movies normally.
Hold on. Did Chris Cabin just say it works?
I think he works in this. I think because of the way it's written, like a scumbag, you have to have a scumbag like this.
But I
really do think it lines up.
It's like a sympathetic scumbag, and it's like...
I don't think he does anything to make him, other than he is the lead, if you just assume the lead.
He's fighting evil gentlemen. You're supposed to be on his side.
But the villains were betrayed by his... betrayed by the same people.
By the Catholic Church, haven't we all been?
So they have this whole thing. I love Mark Boone Jr. He's like, nine goons, man. Like, he's so excited.
And he's like, something's wrong. Where's the master? All these goons, no master.
And we do find out where the master is, hiding in the dirt. I mean, this is another thing that I like is like, so much of this movie feels like kind of a weird cross between vampires and zombies. Like, it's mostly vampires, don't get me wrong. But I love all of the shots of whenever vampires are rising out of the dirt like that, you know, like it takes a very unromantic approach to vampire shit versus yes. just a couple weeks back. My Lord, we're talking about Queen of the Damned. Well,
yes, it does. But it also almost doesn't, because the way it's like the master has to wear an old European suit or a cape or something instead of like when they were going through the bodies of the quote unquote goons, I was like, well, how do you fucking know which one's the master? Like, why can't a guy in a t-shirt be a master? That's what I've been saying my whole life.
And, like, fucking James Woods has this truck, this fucking SWAT team truck.
Well, there's no truck. There's a big van.
A van.
And then Daniel Baldwin's driving a Jeep.
Right.
And like a Wrangler.
The van, I think it's like an armored car. Like a bank car.
Yes.
And
it has the Iron Cross on it. And I'm going to be nice and think that he's just a fan of Prussia.
I don't know what's going on.
I believe it's supposed to be more like a Knights Templar kind of thing. I have an eye for an Iron Cross. That was not quite it. That was more of a Cross of Malta, babe.
Ah, I see.
Sick brag, dude.
Much like the man portraying. Yeah, much like the man portraying him, I don't want to know too much about Jack Crow's politics.
Yeah, absolutely. So we cut to the Sun God Motel, you guys, and let me tell you something. Nothing like a week-long dirtbag motel party.
Man. This is insane.
I like that the sheriff is there. It's like, when are these guys leaving?
Is this now, am I understanding this scene correctly? Because the sheriff is there, like, tolerating everything. He's kind of talking with this motel owner, like, because the guy's like, when are they going to be gone? And James Woods is like, you know, we're rolling out tomorrow or something like that. Is this a thing where it's like this town was like, fuck, we got a really bad vampire problem. We got to call the Vamp Busters.
That's how I read it.
And like, they've hired them to come in and do this. So that's why they're putting up with this at the motel.
It seems like they're getting paid double. Like, we're getting paid from the town and the Vatican.
Yes, that's the definitely for sure. But he is definitely, he knew this was a nest because he's been plotting some system
plotting.
That this vampire cult has been following to find a cross.
Dude, hearing James Woods say logarithmic algorithm, fuck, that's a stretch.
And it's just like, it's just hookers and beer. It's a hookers and beer party. You bring one or the other.
Absolutely. And I'm shocked at the non-existence of cocaine.
Yeah.
You don't see it, though. It's there.
It's probably there. This party is so rowdy. It's so ridiculous. It feels like something like Frank Booth and Blue Velvet would embark upon.
Oh, of course it is, dude, because they are seconds away from a gangbang before the fucking master shows up and kills them all.
Even the priest is drunk out of his mind.
This dude's fucking great. This guy's been in stuff. This guy playing the original Padre.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. I do think that the couch was rooting for the vampires in this one. The couch was like, oh, thank God the vampire showed up.
Yeah, cover me in blood. It's fine. As long as these prostitutes aren't here tomorrow.
I don't want Daniel Baldwin's taint on me.
No more Mark Boone Jr. farts, please. Please. I can't take it.
He farts and looks at the couch. What, you don't like falafel?
Some days I wipe off the farts. Some days I wipe off the cum.
And the blood.
Couchy driver? I don't know. That's
couchy driver.
I love it.
We got, of course, Cheryl Lee. Laura Palmer herself is in this movie.
It's hilarious because I was so excited to see her in a non-twin. Literally not be dead. I was like, oh, cool, she's alive. And she's not alive for more than 5 seconds in this film.
And she's also pretty much comatose and weird throughout the entire thing anyway.
John, this is Cheryl's agent. Yeah, she has to be dead. She will not play a living person. It's just that she's technically dead in the Winter's Bone. You don't know that, but, it's in the script.
She is Katrina. She's one of the prostitutes servicing the party. She's, of course, going straight for James Woods.
I mean, that's where you have to go in that scenario. Like, you got Mark Wood Jr. and Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah,
I'd go for Shang Tsung, actually, if I could.
Shang Tsung or, like, the Padre? See if he's a game.
Hot take. I'd rather get fucked by Daniel Baldwin than James Woods.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
No, I agree with
James Woods' fucking yellow-ass teeth in this movie, too. Oof.
Daniel Baldwin would be grateful. He'd be thankful. You look at that pudge. You look at that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that pudge is kind of comforting. I could be that small spoon.
You know, all right, if we're really opening it up to the floor, then Mark Boone Jr. over the two of them, I think.
Is that right?
See, the thing is, like, I would like to hear Mark Boone Jr.'s adventures in
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
I don't know if being slammed by him, I don't know. Maybe.
maybe if he's from behind, but you don't want him on top of you. Daniel Baldwin on top, maybe.
I want the breakfast the next day with Mark Boone Jr., I guess, is what I'm going for.
Okay. I think the thing is, the fantasy should be we could just hang out with Mark Boone Jr.
Oh, okay.
And nobody has to fuck anybody.
Can I fuck them?
Yes, you can fuck all of them.
Thank you.
So yeah, the master comes in. He starts laying waste to people. Mark Boone Jr. is the first to go in spectacular fashion.
It's the best death
say.
Of the movie, I think.
Woo! It is great. There's a knock at the door, and everybody's like, "Oh, we're out of beer," and he's like, "No, I've got beer." And he gets up and opens the door. This dude cuts him fucking scrot to throat, man.
I couldn't believe it. His body just falls apart. It is exquisite.
Oh,
it's a nice
so cool.
Johnny mnemonic. Ooh, oh
yeah,
boy, that's sweet.
This dude's laying waste to everybody. Another great kill, though, I have to say, because I've never seen this happen in a vampire movie. The master himself takes a shotgun and shoots the padre in the throat.
Oh, dude, it's fantastic.
Ooh, that's really something.
I guess it's to make him commit suicide. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, he's sending him to hell, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah, now, Thomas Ian Griffith in this movie is mostly without dialogue. But I feel like this must be like what he considers like the biggest part of his career.
You think so over Karate Kid?
You know, Karate Kid 3...
Bad Boy
Mike Barnes was kind of jockeying for the top slot in the baddie category in that. I just feel like this movie is like... He's like, okay, you did Karate Kid Part 3. Now you're really fucking breaking, dude. You're working with John Carpenter. You're playing the master vampire named Jan Valak or whatever.
Right.
Who apparently is the original vampire and Dracula didn't exist, but we all know Dracula exists.
But you know, here's the thing. I do appreciate this movie not bothering with the D word.
I agree with that, but then why set him at the same point in history, like 1300s, medieval Europe? It's
kind of the same
character.
He's dressed like vampire Dracula anyway.
But they're also rewriting Dracula, like Vampire Rose, all over the place. Like, he clearly wants to make it his own thing.
But it should have been like, oh, yeah, vampires, they started in the 1970s. The guy in a t-shirt.
Serpico was the first vampire.
There was a dude who did some bad lewds in a discotheque bathroom and fucking bit this lady's neck, and it was all downhill from there.
If you don't suck her blood, how do we know we can trust you?
Exactly.
It's all corrupt cops is how vampirism spread.
Yeah, so, you know, James Woods and Daniel Baldwin try to get in here and save the day. It doesn't really work out so well.
Lee at this point also gets only bitten by Thomas Ian Griffith. He gets her on the thigh there. It's a very sexual scene.
Oh, big time, dude. And after, you know, a couple weeks ago with Stuart Townsend and possibly one of those unsexy vampires of all time, I was pretty okay with this. I was like, it's a vampire. We're doing like a oral sex nod here, you know. Well,
yeah, she knew that fucking James Woods wasn't going to be doing this shit.
Oh no, dude, that's not for guys like James Woods, if you know what I mean.
But Daniel Baldwin might just do it. He looks like the type to me.
Absolutely, and good for him.
Nice.
Jack Crow. So
yeah, Crow, Tom Servo, and Joel.
Along with Montoya and Katrina escape. And
don't forget Gypsy and Cambot. Roll call.
So they escape from this dude. He kind of like tries to latch onto the car, and Daniel Baldwin shoots him in the face, which is pretty great. And then they get in a car accident like immediately. So like the next day, it's like the sun's up. They're walking down the street and it's like a lone desert highway. And it's two dirtbags and a pretty lady walking down the street. Like this is a fucking Rob Zombie movie.
It is. It looks very much. Because they take Cheryl Lee. James Woods wants to take her. He knows she's been bit. But he's like, she's got a psych. She's got, and he says this like really quickly as he starts like, she's gonna have a psychic link with the vampire. We gotta get her. We gotta. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So the lore here, right? And I guess this is sort of, I guess, throughout most vampire lore, is that in some way, if you're doing vampire lore in where there is like a master vampire, a head vampire, the other underlings are like psychically linked, or either that or like emotionally linked or something. So, yeah.
I thought this was kind of a cool thing. Like they can track him through her connection with the master vampire, and that plays into the whole talk about the master shit before. I read that on Wikipedia, they mentioned in the book the differences between vampire dollar sign and this is there's like a vampire detector in the book, and I feel like this is much more in line with lore to have it be a psychic connection.
Like vampire detector, like a device, or like it's a person?
It sounded like some type of Egon shit.
Oh, fuck, dude. No. Get some Dr. Spangler on the case.
This town is gone. After this slaughter, this town has got to be raided. Like, there's nothing left. They killed all the hookers in like a 50-mile range, I would say.
So you think that's like the economy for this town?
Seems like it. What else is there other than the Sun God Motel and dirt?
I mean, you know, for a town of 30 people, Kevin, maybe that's all you need to stay afloat.
I suppose.
Yeah, but you're right. I think, well, they do. James Woods, like, sees the news report later, or maybe it's Daniel Baldwin's watching TV, and it's like, yeah, 19 people were killed, and, oh, by the way, they were all decapitated. The motel was burned to the ground.
This, it would be national news.
Yeah, no, everybody would be hearing about this. So they got to figure out how to get back on the road. Jack is suspecting that they've been set up in some way because he says, you know, because the master, this dude knows, he's like, oh, hello, Mr. Jack Crow. And, you know, he's like, all right, so this motherfucker knew my name, knew where we were going to be, so on and so forth. So what they do to get back on the road is steal a car from Frank Darabont. Everybody catch Darabont?
Oh, nice.
Is this gas station guy? Yeah.
That's amazing. I do like this scene of just stealing this dude's Cadillac.
Yeah,
he's
pretty
like,
great.
Oh, man, season two of Walking Dead scripts are in there. Give it back. Oh, I got fired off that show. But I'm going to take all the money.
Oh, dude, of course.
Oh, I'm going to take all the money. Created by, dude. What a credit.
Man. Absolutely.
And I can't believe that's still on the air, by the way.
I was thinking about that the other day for some reason or another, but it's shocking to me that that show's still on. And none of us are watching it, right?
No, I gave up after a season. Like, whenever the mom died, I was like, yeah, I'm done. You know what? Everybody I came to this party with has left, so I'm good.
All of my friends are dead. Yeah, I have been off it for the better part of a decade.
Yeah, whenever the Negan season one, that's when I stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, same. So you saw Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
Oh.
Yeah,
you guys blew right past me. So they go back to the motel, and Daniel Baldwin is basically assigned to get this woman to safety, go into hiding or whatever, while James Woods like takes care of the scene. So there's definitely a montage, and again, great effects here of James Woods staking hearts, cutting off Mark Boone Jr.'s head. Now here is a question though, because I don't know if it's because I've seen this movie so many times or if it happens someplace else. Has Mark Boone Jr. been decapitated in other films?
Not that I know of. I mean, okay. I'm sure I would. I'm not going to take the money on it. If we're doing New Jersey gambling on that, I'm not going to gamble on it. But
fair enough.
I think that might be how Sons of Anarchy ends. Maybe.
I love that there's this thing, because like when they split up and he goes to Daniel Baldwin, like, you take it back to the hotel. I got to take care of the scene. Blah, 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 blah. And like Daniel Baldwin's like, hey man, vampire rule number 7. You never take care of all you never bury a team by yourself. And it's like, can you tell me what these vampire rules are? That'd be really helpful.
Very much. That is a thing that it's actually always annoyed me with this movie, because it annoys me in any movie where there's some character has a philosophy that's a bunch of rules or whatever the fuck, and you're just like throwing those rules, like rule number 283.
Yes.
Never, you know, and it's fucking littered throughout this movie. It means absolutely nothing. Like he could just say, hey man, we shouldn't bury this team. You know, you shouldn't bury the team by yourself. You know, they were my teammates do or whatever the fuck. But yeah, vampire rule number 7. Never been, I hate that shit in movies.
Eventually we get like vampire rule number 1 and it's like, that's the thing is you don't know the other ones. I think it's like 1 and 7. And yeah. 1 is like, oh, if your teammate gets bitten, you have to kill them or whatever. And
right.
There's a whole part of this movie where Daniel Baldwin does get bitten and just hides it. So he's violating rule number 1.
Which is also a thing that happens a ton in zombie movies.
Yes,
and
yes.
That was another thing that made me feel like this was like a real weird half and half kind of thing.
I will say I like that they don't explain stuff like him cutting the heads off and burying them that specific way. Because
right.
This could have gone exposition town really quick.
That's very true.
And they do not explain much in this. I kind of prefer that. That to them over because they were never I don't think they were ever going to hit the juicy middle. I think it was either going to be way too much or way too little.
I kind of agree with that because you're like dropped right into the action in this movie and we kind of just it's like pick it up as you go. So it's
does
got a
have,
pace to it, even though it does slow the fuck down soon enough.
Well, that's the thing is once this like I think the first 25 minutes or whatever are fun. It's like and it does feel a lot like Dust Till Dawn. We're like stealing cars and shit and it's like okay, and then like the middle of this movie is so soggy and the end doesn't even actually bring it back up that much.
I agree with that.
I kind of don't, but we'll get there.
So Alec Baldwin has to go back to check in.
Oh, which Baldwin?
Oh, shit. No.
Drink.
I will.
You just failed the Baldwin test. That was Baldwin rule number 1.
All right. Get now, the fuck out of this diner.
Now, did you just drink, say... here's the thing. If you mistake one of the prime Baldwins, you got to drink a beer. If you mistake us for Adam Baldwin, you got to take a shot.
Did you just say Stephen Baldwin was in Firefly? Well, you're drinking that whole bottle, buddy.
Also, Steve, way to have Alec Baldwin say, "Here's the thing."
Oh yeah.
Do you think, Daniel, what you need to do is watch Human Centipede? It is a phenomenal movie, Daniel.
It's kind of shocking that Daniel Baldwin escaped being in any of those movies. Because couldn't you see him being like the guy? Or, you know, actually, the other thing.
He'd be swallowing shit at the back of the line.
Daniel Baldwin, dudes, as like a shitty detective in a later Saw sequel.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Kind of surprised that did not come.
Well, they have to be releasing that. Well, that Saw movie is going to get released directly, right?
Looks like he made them Saw themselves.
Well, they already pulled that shit. They already got the lesson. Or Wahlberg to be in the second
true.
Saw.
Yeah, that's true. You can't have an entire franchise populated by shitty brothers.
So is that Donnie?
Yes.
Yeah, Donnie
Wahlberg's a cop and a bunch of them. And Steve, to your thing though, I don't know what the situation is with the Chris Rock movie. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, like I'm wondering if they're going to pull it or just VOD it.
Does anybody know what the original release date was supposed to be? I don't have it in front of me. Oh, that's cooked. Yeah,
I think it got pushed. I think I heard something about getting pushed.
I saw the trailer in front of The Invisible Man. It was the first and only time I've seen it. And I got to say, it looked kind of interesting.
Oh, totally.
I didn't even know there was a trailer.
Oh, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Spiral, Eric. You should check it out. It's very not giving too much away, which I was pretty surprised about.
I'm sorry. James Woods goes to visit with the Catholic Church. He visits Maximilian Schell, and I have to admit some real stupidity here. In the beginning, when they're, you know, in the opening credits, John Carpenter's vampires, it's James Woods, it's Daniel Baldwin, Cheryl Lee, and then it's and Maximilian Schell. And I'm like, oh, wow, they got the guy who played Nosferatu back. That's pretty interesting. And I looked at it, I was like, oh, no, that guy died in 1936.
Oh, yeah. Max Schreck? Yeah, he was dust when this movie came out.
I was excited for Maximilian Schell being in this because, of course, of his great performance in The Blue Max. I believe I'm right about that. Maybe I'm wrong, but wasn't he also in Deep Impact previous episode?
He was.
He definitely is. What is the Blue what?
The Blue Max. It's a World War One drama with him and James Mason and a bunch of other people. It's really good.
Ooh, I certainly do like James Mason movies. Maximilian Schell, by the way, passed away. I totally forgot about this. 2014.
Yeah.
But he's somebody's dad in Deep Impact. Am I remembering
Taylor Leone's dad.
Yes.
That's right.
They hug on the beach when when it all goes down.
Oh, here's a question I did have for you guys, though, because he's in a movie that I have been, and I know we're all over the place here, but he's in a movie that I've been circling the drain on for a really long time, but never bit the bullet. That Disney Black Hole with like him and Anthony Perkins.
I've been dying to see it. It's Disney Plus.
It's a nice roll one up movie, I'll tell you that. It's not very good, all things told, but visually it's pretty wild.
Well, I mean, thank you for planning my evening.
I was gonna say, I know we're all so busy going to restaurants and just going to concerts, going to movies outside, being outside.
He was
outside
also
in general.
Cross of Iron, by the way.
Good movie.
Well, he won an Oscar for Nuremberg, Judgment of Nuremberg.
Oh, right.
It's also a good movie.
So he is slumming it in this. He's
but Steve, did you? I imagine you were last night like, yeah, man, he looks good for 300.
I actually kept thinking like, well, no, that's not him. That's that other guy. I'm like, where is this 90-year-old or 200-year-old man?
I mean, there's a lot of corpses in it. Did he just play a corpse?
Wow. By the way, I totally got these movies confused. He's not in The Blue Max. I guess I confused him with George Papad.
Oh, shit.
Easy mistake.
He's also been dead for years.
So they're like, hey, man, your team got cut up. It sucks. Why don't you? I have an idea. And they keep saying this. Even Daniel Baldwin keeps saying this, too. He's like, why don't you go back to Monterey and recruit more vampire hunters? I'm like, what the fuck is going on in Monterey?
I guess that's where the home base is or something.
That's where the main base is. And they say there was another team.
Yes, the European team.
Led by tall Tom Callahan. And they got wiped out in Europe. Some mission went awry. They got wiped out. I think it turns out to be Valak. When
tall Tom Callahan fucking... Brian Dennehy?
That's his name. His name is Tom.
Yeah.
They say Tall Tom, and then James Woods keeps on calling him Callahan.
Oh, I totally missed that. I mean, yeah, the European team, it was wiped out. They were trying to bust up a nest in Cologne, we're told. So I guess, are we to believe that Valak was responsible for that, too?
I think that's what they come to say at the end.
Gotcha. And there's a great, my favorite exchange in this scene is they mentioned something. It's like, yeah, of course, Jan Valak, he was a former priest. We get a little bit of history of here. He was a former priest, something heresy. He was the first vampire. And James Wood says, created by the Catholic Church, to which this other this tiny other priest is like, by accident. And James Woods, he is a scumbag, but great delivery here. He just goes, shut the fuck up. Just yelling at this priest. I fucking love it.
Right. That's the only thing I like Woods as is scumbag. That's all about Casino.
Casino is his best. Well, Videodrome,
he's able to play it so well because that's what he is in real life.
Yes, and Videodrome, he's also a huge scumbag.
Huge scumbag. Has he ever tried to not play a scumbag?
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm sure there has been, but it's kind of funny because I was realizing this is definitely the James Woods movie I've seen the most. And it's also, I'm going back, like, I was like, what James Woods movies have I seen?
Have you seen the one with him and Michael J. Fox?
Which is what?
The Hard Way, where he's learning how... Michael J. Fox is learning to be a cop, and he follows corrupt fucking cop James Woods.
No kidding.
It's insane. It's fucking nuts.
I completely forgot he's in The Virgin Suicides.
Yes.
Oh, he's so good. And
he's the dad in that, yeah. He's in... I was like, wait, he was in that? I saw that. But it's the remake of Straw Dogs, which I did not see.
You're fine.
In Contact.
He's in previous episode Cat's Eye as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, fuck.
Smoker's Ink segment.
That's right.
The Hotbox.
Anyways.
One. So, but yeah, there's this other priest.
A little uptown.
This other priest named Father Adam Gaitu, which Daniel Baldwin, or not Daniel, I'm getting him and James Woods mixed up. James Woods and Daniel Baldwin actually both call him Padre the whole time. And
well, because they call the other dude Padre.
It's
just because they're from the Southwest, or I guess these particular priests are.
It's just like fun, I guess, they're calling him Padre. I don't know. I can't
pronounce your name. Fucking your Padre. Padre or Father. Which one you like?
It's the thing. And Steve, I guess you didn't have this in your Catholic community, but like when you wanted to be at least me growing up, and it was never kids. Kids could never do this, but like the adults, if you wanted to be like casual yes. with father whoever, you called him Padre.
Yeah.
Ironically, a lot of the people that I grew up with in the church calling the priest Padre would also be the first person to fucking scream at somebody to speak English. So do with see, that what you will.
See, in your community, you guys said father, and then you casualized it to Padre. In Steve's community, it was father and then daddy. Oh, no.
Well, I was an altar boy, Eric. We'll leave it at that. So this guy's like, I'm coming too. And actually, James Woods is ordered to re-up at Monterey, which I guess, you know, the Cardinal's crooked. I guess he knows here that James Woods is going to betray his orders no matter what.
I think that's the idea. Yeah. Yeah. He knows what kind of a fucking pain in the ass Jack Crow is to work with.
So
know?
They get off together and like James Woods is like beating the shit out of this guy. And then like James Woods is like favorite joke in this movie is like, Hey, when I beat you up, did that get your heart a little bit? Give it a little wood, some mahogany, some ebony.
This is fucking insane.
It's all of that shit, and definitely. Well, I'd be
like,
well,
obviously it did to you. I mean, if we're bringing it up, man, like,
I mean, you're right on top of me. I can feel it, fella.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Shockingly, though, the only character in the film to do this is James Woods' character.
Yes.
The constant homophobia.
Oh,
he's making
yeah.
remarks to the, this priest because he's saying this is the scene where they do the ubiquitous this ain't your daddy's vampire story.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to do all the shit about like it's not like in the movies garlic, blah, blah, blah. And it's slur in rented formal wear.
That's what it is.
Referring to like, you know, these vampires that we deal with in the real world aren't like Dracula and all these European guys you've seen these. F's and rented formal wear yeah. and I'm just like dude but I mean that, you're James yes. Woods so I'm not surprised
but then it turns out to be exactly that not saying that it's the slur related but it's like a dude in European garb from the medieval era
yeah. medieval 1300s formal wear yeah no it's true but yeah so this is where he says though he's like the only thing that works is sunlight turns them into crispy critters or you drive a stake through their heart so in this world crosses mean nothing, clearly, because this vampire is fucking partnered with the Catholic Church at the end of it. And garlic does nothing.
John, yeah, it's James. It's James. Look, there's a lot of nice words in here. There's one word that's not in here, and I need you to put it in the script. Okay, John, listen, I know it's 1995, but I will hold this up. I will hold this fucker up if I don't get my word.
Actually, it is. I was reading that. The way that Carpenter and Woods worked was one, they'd do one take how it's written, and then one take James Woods got to improvise. So I'm going to guess.
Steve, are you being serious about that?
No, that's very serious.
Yeah, okay. No, because that could easily have been a joke, but also, like, it's not surprising.
I'm
gonna
need
going to on
need one
here.
Slur from the audience, please.
Hey, Padre, did you get hard when I kicked your ass? Okay. Katrina's getting the psychic link up and running pretty much while Daniel Baldwin has stripped her nude and tied her to a bed.
That's my question. And she wakes up and she's like, you know, she's not a total vampire at this point or barely a vampire at this point. She's like, oh my God, what? She's just like hog tied to a bed. And he's like, listen, sweetheart, I had to bring you here. You're a vampire now. And I cleaned you up. And I'm like, okay. First of all, like, I would rather wake up covered in blood than be naked in front of Daniel Baldwin.
I'll be honest with you. I'm also sexually into knots. just love them. Love them all. I just really liked them, and you looked like the type.
Yeah, I'm a real Nazi.
He also does this thing, which is something that drives me nuts in movies, and I need to bring it up here, which is... when we're like some guy, you know, we're on the lam or something and whatever, and we have to get takeout, we just get a bag of hamburgers. It's like a bag full of hamburgers.
A sack of hamburgers. Like, this is a fucking Popeye's short.
And it's like,
I will gladly pay you on Tuesday for your hamburgers today.
It's a for me, hamburgers is a very specific. Like, if I was, and we, you know, we get lunch often, us pals.
Yeah.
It's a very specific order. It's like, Eric, what hamburger would you like? Chris, what hamburger would you like? And I get four fucking hamburgers, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. Put me down for bag.
Bagged burger.
I will tell you something right now. Getting a copious amount of food in a sack like that is pretty rewarding. And I can I can speak of experience because, Chris Cabin, you were present for this.
Uh-huh.
We had a good friend of ours in high school worked at the local Wendy's.
Oh, yeah.
And we would drive up to the fucking the drive-thru, you know, and if we heard him on the radio, we knew it was him. You said to this dude, sack full of nugs. and then we'd order other stuff, uh-huh. right? And then you pull up, pay for it. You pay for the shit we ordered. But then also, this dude would just load up a bag filled with chicken nuggets. Dude, it was decadent.
Now I'm wondering, like, if there was one time at the end of this where, you know, you and Cabin are high out of your mind, driving in a car, and you're like, hey, man, sack full of nugs. The guy's like, you got it. And once you get the sack, a SWAT team swarms you and your friend. It was a sting the whole time.
This has been a decade in the work. Finally, and we're going to give you a $5 fine.
Yeah, we just caught the premier nug thieves of Upper New York.
A friend
we need to wait for him to say sack full of nugs. Do not move until you hear sack full of nugs.
All right, that's it. Go, go, go. I will say, though, a friend of ours got another dude that we knew at that Wendy's fired because he went inside. Because, you know, you get discounts all the time. They'd give us, like, they give you, like, a senior discount, an employee discount at the same time. You paid, like, nothing.
Sure.
And a friend of ours was like, hey, man, no discount. And the guy was very like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. And our friend was being a real asshole and pushing him, pushing him, pushing him. What our friend did not know was behind this poor bastard was the district manager.
Oh, no.
And this guy got fucking fired.
Yeah. Our days of getting double spicy chicken sandwiches were over.
He didn't know Nugget in Chief was right behind him.
Yeah, no, exactly. So anyway, all this to say, I got no problem with Daniel Baldwin's sack of hamburgers.
He eats one of these hamburgers, and he spits it out, and I was like, it's going to be a veggie burger line, isn't it?
I was
bracing for it. I was like, here we go.
It actually, also, the other thing, too, is like, you know, at the time of this recording, we're like 2.5 weeks into this lockdown. And man, just a fucking McDonald's cheeseburger right now. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh.
I'm good.
Fair enough. Oh, one of my favorite things happens right here, too. So she's like, hey, man, can I fucking go to the bathroom and please get dressed already? I'm not going to go anywhere. You know, just let me go to the bathroom. And he agrees to it. And he's like, all right, you got to keep the door open a little bit. And I'm going to be right outside. So that happens. She has like a quick vision of like a small town church, and like this old lady gets murdered in the vision, and it's like vampire cam. Like this is, you know, Jan the Impaler, or whatever this dude's name is, killing this lady. And then she snaps out of it, and I'm like, how long did this vision last? Because Daniel Baldwin has fallen asleep in a chair.
Oh, wait, she's not getting, oh, she's dressed. I'm really tired now. Plus a sack of hamburgers hitting me like a fucking rock in my stomach. Burger coma.
Well, I finished jerking off to looking through that peephole at her. Better take a nap for Danny Boy.
So sleepy. Let me get a sack of hamburgers, Diet Coke. You don't make it 2 sacks of hamburgers.
And a bucket of fries. How about that? A bucket of fries with that.
You got a pallet back there. What's the pallet situation?
So she's like out on the ledge. She's going to commit suicide.
Good idea.
She just doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't want these visions and everything. So Daniel Baldwin like opens another window and grabs her, and they kind of have a bit of a scuffle. He falls back inside, and she has bitten his arm. And so this is, of course, he fucking hits her. This is the first bitch of the film.
Yeah, he really hits her, too. It's like, all right, movie. Yeah.
And this is the bitch avalanche, and the rest of the movie, that's half the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. But here was something I noticed, because I'm fairly certain there were no special effects here. Daniel Baldwin's like, all right, his whole thing is like cauterizing the wound kind of a thing. I'm pretty sure when the character takes out his lighter and burns his arm wound and is screaming, this is indeed Daniel Baldwin burning himself with a lighter.
I think it is a little bit, but you got to figure on that arm wound, there's got to be latex and poor shit anyway.
Sure, but I feel like it was a thing where they were like, hey man, like, you know, we can do it in post or something. He was like, no, no, Carpenter, just give me a go at actually doing it. Well, yeah, let me burn myself. I'm really into this role.
I used to do this all the time. Don't worry. I'm ready for it.
I mean, I do think that this, I mean, like we said, this is kind of Daniel Baldwin's biggest role. Anyway, I can imagine him throwing himself into it. There's, again, it's Carpenter. Yes. James Woods is a known quantity.
Totally. So Woods and the Padre, new Padre, get to this hotel. James Woods immediately hits this guy with the phone, which is fucking great. But this is, we're basically exploring the link between this dude, Valak is the name, Jan Valak, and Katrina. We see him fucking decapitate this priest. Again, pretty decent special effect.
Yeah, and this is when I start falling asleep, to be honest.
Well, this, what, with the mystery unfolding?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
The mystery that is unfolding is Valak is trying to find this special cross that was from old Europe that's now buried in the Southwest in order to complete the ritual to make him like a daywalker, an immortal vampire that is not affected by the sun.
Why not fucking break the cross in half? Put half in Europe and half in fucking South America. Call it a day.
But it's nice. You want to show it to people. That's it's the nice.
Thing, the thing is, no one was as smart as Stephen Sadin.
In the Catholic Church? No, I don't think so.
They had other things in mind.
Yes, they did. Because I paid attention. So the cross, it was used in the ceremony that turned Valak from a priest who was like working with the poor. He became like a priest for the Bohemians, they say. And they tried to like, it was like a botched exorcism. And they
reverse exorcism,
something
they
to
say?
That effect. And they turned him in doing this. And it was a frame job because he was helping the poor. They turned him into a vampire, and this will turn him into the vampire, like the best vampire.
Well, right, because he's a master who can also walk during the day, so essentially he'll be unstoppable.
It was just another whoopsie daisy by the Catholic Church in a long line of whoopsie daisies.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Look, we have to deal with the problem now. Let's not think of what we did. Let's just do what we're doing now.
Cabin, is that right, though, that they say that they did this reverse exorcism on this guy because he was helping the poor?
Yeah, he became like he in that little Maximilian Schell thing. It becomes revealed that he was like, he became Bohemian, and he was like, I believe in all of, you know, God's children deserve everything. Like, it was an equality guy, and they're like, well, fuck that shit, and they put a demon.
All right, so Valak was cool with like same sex marriage.
I mean, I don't right. back then. Who knows?
Listen. Anything resembling communist values, you get turned into a vampire, ladies and gentlemen. That is rule number one. Rule number two, you molest kids, you sons of bitches, we are going to move you to a different church. And it's going to be really annoying.
And we're going to keep on paying you. That's, like, you're going to keep on getting paid.
What does Bohemian even mean? Is it like, oh, he's aligned to like the Habsburg crown in Czechoslovakia? Or is he just like a hipster?
No, I think it means that word that James Woods used earlier in the film.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So like now they're like they know what he's after, so they have to go find where he's going, and the priest.
The Black Cross, we're also told, is the Bercier Cross.
Mm-hmm. There's this other big scene where Valak actually gets the Bercier Cross. It's kind of hilarious. Like, it's outside of like, it looks like a Franciscan kind of monastery kind of a thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's all these vampires who were told are masters wake up, and it's like 6 to 8 different people, men and women, coming out of the dirt, like with their eyes closed and their mouths closed, like, mah, mah. I kind of want one guy to, like, with both eyes open, just like chunking dirt, like, oh, fuck, I went to bed with my mouth open. It's fucking terrible.
Oh, I did it again.
Speaking of Laurel Palmer, this kind of reminded me of David Lynch, right? Like in the new Twin Peaks with those dirtmen, the lumberjack
shit.
Guys.
Yeah, totally, man.
Get a light. Get a light.
Dude, I love, honestly, the scene of the vampires storming this monastery, dude. These guys are like sitting ducks to these vampires. They're just, you get a whole sequence of them like just being slayed by these monsters.
Yeah, it's like all these monks being thrown and ripped apart. It's not bad.
It is not bad. I agree with that. The sequence is pretty
There's
fun.
One dude, it's kind of great because there's one guy who's clearly just been like pushed over, but his robes like land on something that's on fire and this dude just starts cooking up. This monk's just on fire. It's fucking great.
All the pyrotechnic work in this movie, phenomenal.
It is. Like, it's fantastic.
It's A grade, man. It's A grade.
And the real problem with this movie is they're so cold on these footsteps for so long.
Yes, it is a lot of just playing catch up. I mean, because like when the team gets to the monastery, you know, everybody's long gone. They're so long gone that they're putting in the sound of like flies buzzing around, so these dudes are now just like rotting. That's right. How long they're, you know, behind and these vampires.
There's like the whole scene of like they're trying to get Laura Palmer to like see what Valak is up to through the psychic link. They see like, oh, he's gonna get the cross because there's the map and he kills Father Molina. So then we just go to a church and that Father Molina presided over, and it's just like talking to a state trooper. It's just kind of, it feels like padding.
Yeah, this cop character in that priest in that priest's church is hilarious because James Woods is like, yeah, we're going around the country investigating hate crimes on Catholic people. I was like, yeah, okay.
And wait, this dude, do you mean that they're doing the hate crimes? Is that what you mean?
You have it backwards, right? That's okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come right this way. Right.
It's kind of a funny exchange, though, because the cop is like, oh, now, wait a second. All right. Any new information you get, you're going to share it with us, right? And James Woods is like, yeah.
Because they mistake him for like a fed, I guess.
No, he straight up says he's working for the Catholic Church.
Oh, Lord.
It is amazing. Like, oh, right this way, you work for the Catholic Church. Like, I don't know, man. How about the fucking federal government steps in?
Exactly. You work for the Catholic Church? Okay, cool. Wait outside, fuckhead. Exactly.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, pervert.
Say, Sheriff, do you have any quote-unquote vampires you need me to kill? You know, we got a little bit of a payment system here if you had some quote-unquote vampires that are in some rent-stabilized apartments. We could take care of those quote-unquote vampires.
You know, Kevin, you just reminded me, there is a thing in that opening motel scene where Mark Boone Jr. and some other dude are trying to impress the sex workers by saying that they're vampire hunters. And it brought to mind, like, this is still a world where vampires are not a known thing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it is still a mystery kind of thing. So I feel like, why are they telling people?
Because, well, I mean, let's be honest. The Catholic Church doesn't keep its mouth shut. They've let also, leaks out before. This isn't fucking...
They were also getting their rocks off, and I feel like it's like, whatever. Like, we could tell them we've stepped on the moon, man.
Yeah, sure. That's true. So this other padre, this dude from Hell on Wheels...
Right. Oh, yeah, your favorite.
Yes, Giddy. Of course, my absolute favorite. This guy was in late season. What was the actor's name again?
Tim Guinea?
Yes. Yeah. That might be a slur, but yes.
And we accept it as a slur.
He played in Hell on Wheels. He didn't really emerge towards the later seasons, I think like 3 through 5 or so, where he kind of played like a check to Sir Thomas Durant, of course.
Of course. Because
Thomas Durant is doing the expansion out west, making the railroad. The thing is, this guy is doing it from the other way. And this is when the show finally decides to address the whole Chinese labor of creating the railroads.
It took them 3 seasons to address that?
Yeah. I never said it was a good show.
Well we're not going to get a 4th season, so why don't we do something worth a damn?
Well,
how about that?
I think like the first 2 seasons or so was very much like, we're in Kansas, okay? We're just hanging out in Kansas.
Oh, right? Gotcha.
This guy played in one of my favorite Law and Orders. He's one of those guys who like killed... his wife, his girlfriend, her daughter, and like their employer, and then like act like seduced everybody to like not his lawyer, the jury, and everybody, like, because he's such a nice guy.
Really?
It's a really good episode if you can find it.
It's OG Law and Order.
OG Law and Order.
I love me some OG Law and Order.
Ooh. Oh wow. You know, speaking of vampires, I just noticed In 2016, there was a show that started, which according to this is
Hell
now,
on Wheels.
No. It's a show called Van Helsing.
Oh yes, there's
about his daughter.
Show. Yeah, it's his daughter. I believe it's on the Sci-Fi Network. People love it. It's one of those shows that like nobody watches, but if you say it in a room with more than 100 people, 20 people are like, hey, and you're like, what?
Oh yeah, look at this. Vanessa Helsing, distant relative of famous vampire hunter Abraham Van Helsing. Oh, so it's like modern day. Oh, I don't know, everybody. I'm looking at this picture. There's a dude with horns.
Dude, people are tweeting at you right now in real time. It's not that bad. Oh, wait for season 3. It gets really good.
I'm sure it's sexy as fuck, folks.
Sure. Not from these promo photos.
I'm sure it gets all your steampunk giddies out.
Is it steampunk? If it's steampunk, I'm in.
It might be. It looks kind of a little steampunk, actually. Yeah.
So I don't even know. Like, they kind of just show up at this town. They lay siege on this town. That's where he has taken the large cross to do this ritual.
Santiago is the name of the town. And it's actually another interesting thing that I wish I could see is they realize like the whole town is gone and they're either dead or have been turned into vampires. And James Woods is basically like, all right, so, you know, he has been working on this for a long time. He's been working on taking out this town bit by bit. So he's got this like entire town as his home base. Kind of all interesting shit I'd rather watch.
Yes, exactly. Like, and they come, well, apparently this is a movie where right before it started, they slashed the budget by like 2/3. So that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's a good call. I didn't read that. That's unfortunate. But the funny thing is, even for a slashed budget, I mean, thankfully, they kept so much of it in, you know, just the production value of the special effects. Well, because those don't look cheap.
Carpenter doesn't do movies that look cheap. I mean, like, find me one. Like, on any budget, he'll find something to make it look like something.
Ghost of Mars actually is probably the worst. It's the most CGI you see him use, I think.
I will say, though, that I think the 2010 movie.
The Ward?
The Ward is cheap, only in the sense of, like, you can tell by, like, the quality of the digital camera that he's using to make the movie looks very cheap.
You know what, Netflix? Give fucking John Carpenter a movie. If you're going to fucking
absolutely
let him make a fucking movie.
I don't know, man. I saw him in concert, which ruled, by the way. I think he's just kind of happy smoking pot with his son.
He might very
playing
well
music and just doesn't want to do shit.
That might be true.
Yeah, I totally feel
well,
that,
his,
too.
His quote was when the new Halloween came out and they were like, oh, are you excited about this new Halloween? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm excited that they paid me. Like, they consulted him, but it wasn't very much like, yeah, yes. I get consulted because I get fucking paid, and that's cool because I'm John Carpenter. I'm 100 years old, and I'm just hanging out.
Well, yeah. Back to 1998. So, John, I'm just about to sign this contract over for $70 million to make this vampire movie with Alec Baldwin, right? Yeah, Daniel Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, you said? Yeah, Daniel Baldwin.
Oh man, I love Alec. Yeah, no, yeah, Daniel Baldwin's great. What?
Yeah,
you are saying Alec, right? Yeah, Alec.
Right. Yeah, we're doing the movie with Baldwin,
Married to the Mobs. Alec Baldwin, right? Yeah, Mahoney falls
now,
with Daniel Baldwin.
Technically, you can't get mad at me because I said a Baldwin was circling the role.
So they're like gearing up to take this, you know, down this town of goons. They realize the safest place for all these vampires to be sleeping during the day is in this jail, which I guess has like multiple floors below it where all the cells are or something. We really don't see a lot of this jail.
There's a lot of elevator business. And I'm like, what are we spending so much time on this elevator for?
This is a down point for me. This is a lot to fucking
deal
with.
This whole, we got to do this elevator action bullshit.
Great game.
Totally great game. But this is, I noticed it at the beginning of the movie, but this is where I finally made the note about it. Dudes, James Woods' fucking fake as fuck crossbow that he's got. This is a bad, cheap looking thing.
Oh,
it looks like a toy, a straight up Nerf gun.
It probably
is just water. Painted silver or something.
It's probably just a really nicely painted Nerf gun. I wouldn't be surprised.
It just looks so fucking cheap. And it also looks like a tad too futuristic. Like, it's cheap looking, but also the design of it looks like it's something you'd see in like a Men in Black movie.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. It's sort of like in Predator 2 when they gave Danny Glover like the gun with like the weird scopes on it.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's sort of future. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, John, we made these like full, beautiful wood arrows for you. And you're going to sign this in Alec Baldwin's movie.
Yeah. So there's all this fucking horse shit where like the priest is like, all right, I'll be the bait in the elevator. And we're going to like lure them up one by one. And this does drag a bit, friends, I have to say.
Because it's like the system is like, and the weird thing is like, I understand like the best way to kill a vampire in this lore is to use sunlight. But like, you know, fucking get your hands dirty and fucking start staking people.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And the only person who stakes anybody in this scene is the priest when he hilariously starts going at this one vampire like a million times.
There are multiple stakings throughout the film, but it's boring and ineffectual. Like when you take them out into the sunlight, they like really burn up and explode. But then you stake them through the heart and they're just like, I'm still here.
That's the weird thing. It's like it doesn't automatically kill them. It just appears to like bother them a little bit.
Yeah, it's just I don't understand the decision in that, but okay.
I'm not
all right, movie.
Well, there's one or two that do die from it, and then they also just burn them because I think you just burn vampire bodies.
Yeah, like, just you know, to be on the safe side.
Yeah, because like the one guy in this elevator thing where it doesn't work because they fuck it up because of course they did because it's a fucking elevator gag. But there's a guy in there and they shove one in his heart and he does seem to be dead.
Oh, okay. But yeah, there also is a fucking great thing though where is it the priest? Yes, it's during this first encounter with the elevator or whatever, they're trying to like kill this vampire and everybody's kind of like surprised or whatever. And this priest takes out a gun. I'm pretty sure the priest shoots this vampire in the crotch like 12 times.
Yeah, that's what you want. Well, guns,
but nobody
like,
acknowledged it.
Guns are like, you know, they distract the vampire. They slow the vampire down. So you might as well go right for the crotch.
It just reminded me, though, of that Simpsons where they do Mr. Burns Dracula. And it's like, oh, and Homer's going to stake him. And then Lisa's like, Dad, that's his groin.
I kept thinking of the line from that exact same episode where it's like, no, I'm the head vampire, you know, because of the master vampire bullshit.
Totally.
Padre, when I said you could kill him by sticking his dick and shooting his dick, it was a joke. I meant that as a joke. We're, you know, we're getting to know each other.
Yeah, Padre, I'm talking about hard dicks over here. I talk about hard dicks all the time.
Is your dick hard?
All this shooting does lead to James Woods be like, hey, use the stake. Hit him in the heart with the stake.
Yeah.
And that still really doesn't do much. And then I think around here, Daniel Baldwin is still like pulling guys and vampires out into the sunlight. And there's a moment where James Woods is being dragged by a vampire. And it's like, oh my God, it's a ticking bomb. He's going to go out there and be exploded with them.
Yes.
Her. It's kind of badass. He like rolls off at the last second.
But he's staking her as well. And it's really just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's a maniac, dude.
The way I understand it, it's a stake and you're done. That's how that's how it should be.
Sure. That's the way I do it.
Oh, you're one of those old-fashioned garlic should hurt him types, aren't you?
No.
Thank you, Chris. I think vampires should be sparkly, and I think they should have fun and vacations, and I think they should go to school and get a diploma.
And when they fuck, the bed breaks?
There should be hipster vampires. There should be sub and dom vampires. There should be every kind of vampire.
Sub and dom, definitely.
I like it.
This all kind of comes to nothing because they're like, well, fuck, we didn't get all of them. And now the sun's going down. And according to rule number 10, you can't even kill a master at night.
Okay.
Why is that? I don't know.
Because an old priest said it once.
Yes.
So they try to hightail it. The master rises, Jan Valak. And again, like here's the thing. He either talks, and he's talking a lot, and he's got character with agency, or he never talks at all. Like this half-in, half-out is actually kind of bad.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, in here, they just come out, and he's like, hello, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Also, no deal with our friend. What's that guy's name? Mike something. The Karate Dream.
Mike Dexter.
No, oh come on, Eric. You know the guy. The number two.
Mike Barnes.
Karate's bad boy, Mike Barnes. Thank you. Vampire's bad boy, Mike Barnes. What if he showed up in this movie?
That would be pretty badass because Terry Silva could use a fucking little sidekick.
You know,
man.
I'll tell you what, he'd break brick. That much I can tell you. He'd break fucking brick.
All right, Padre, it's time to release the special weapon. Ralph Macchio's with us. Come on, Ralph Macchio, go out and get him.
Just physically fighting all of these vampires.
Oh, and we also have Tim Robbins saying vampires.
Vampires.
Yeah, that dude's definitely going to slay some vampires via freaking them out. somewhere around here, Katrina finally fully turns into a vampire and bites Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah, they all kind of separate. The Padre jumps behind like a store window thing and is kind of hanging out, laying low. James Woods gets knocked out by Valak, and Daniel Baldwin finally succumbs to his vampire injuries, thank God.
And so it's kind of great. I love this part of the movie. It's James Woods hog tied to the front of a truck. Not too shabby. And this is when dun 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 Maximilian Schell comes out. Oh yeah, the cardinal himself is crooked, and it's because classic vampire selling point, Maximilian Schell is getting on in years, you know, more sunsets behind him than ahead of him. And he wants to live forever, so of course he does a deal with the vampire community.
Yes, and he mentioned how like his faith has waned over the years. It's interesting. And then James Wood is called a lone crusader, and this is like part of the ritual to have like this one super believer that they would crucify on a burning cross. I don't know why it has to be a burning cross.
Well, you know, because vampires are very showy.
Yeah, theatric. Mm.
Yeah, my attention was waning at this point, and then I was like, James Woods getting crucified. Hold on.
But not before
putting my phone on silent.
But not before saying that our Valak here is a, quote, pole-smoking fashion victim.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting more and more okay with this crucifixion as we go.
Oh, yes. By the way.
Light it up, dude.
Like, how reprehensible James Woods is in real life and as this character. There was a mention of his backstory, which I thought was pretty fascinating, that his parents were killed. Like, his father was bitten by a vampire, and his father turned and killed his mother,
yes.
And then he had to kill his father, and then ever since then he became like a ward of the Vatican and was raised to become a master slayer.
Yeah, raised by the church, man.
I don't want to be a ward of the Vatican, I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely not.
Oh man. If they should have gotten him to be a special guest on Buffy. The most fucking racist slayer there ever was.
Oh, man. Here comes fucking Jack Crow, Buffy. You're going to hate working with Jack Crow. It's me, Giles.
Hey, Buffy, can you feel me? Can you feel me inside you? Can you feel me?
I know you're 16, but come on. You're cool, right? You're good. Also, keep that fucking Kenya away from me.
don't go back. Don't go back to Robert De Niro. Just stay here with me.
Kendra, apologies. Just want to get that everything right.
It's all right. It's all right.
Are you in school? Do you go to school? Buffy, you go to school.
Oh. See our 90210 show for that.
Hey, Buffy, it's me, Daniel Baldwin. I could pick you up. I could pick you up from school. I got a vampire car. Yeah,
I'll help you study.
You say my breath smells like beer. It always smells like that. That's a condition I have.
Hey, Buffy, who's got a cooler car? Me with my vampire car or Angel with his tinted window angel mobile?
You know, a lot of ladies these days, they find burping erotic.
Do you want to take a burger out of this bag? Only take one.
Yeah,
all right, Buffy, you can go in the bathroom and change your clothes. I'll be out here taking a nap immediately.
Oh, wait, I got a date with a high school girl. Yeah, let me get a bag of hamburgers plus one hamburger on the side, please. I want my bag and her hamburger completely separate.
You're in love with a werewolf, huh? You ever want to be with a figurative werewolf?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, another great Daniel Baldwin cauterizing a wound thing. He like fires off a fucking gun and then just puts the barrel to his neck.
It's pretty great.
Oh man, not too shabby.
He's going to be the cavalry to save James Woods. James Woods is getting crucified by the vampires and Maximilian Schell. First of all, if you're going to, for a crucifixion and you're a fucking vampire, let's get some nails out. What's with this fucking rope horse shit?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're the first vampire, maybe you knew somebody who knew Jesus.
Yeah. Like,
you saw how that shit went down.
This whole thing is an issue of ego, because Maximilian Schell should not be outside. He should be like, really, until the last minute, you shouldn't know. Because by fucking doing all this, Padre hears it all and is like, gets up on the roof and fucking shoots Maximilian Schell in the back. Why wouldn't you have like bulletproof vests? I would have vampires surrounding Maximilian Schell.
I mean,
I know he's only a cardinal, but you need the fucking Pope mobile for this one.
Please.
It's a great point. He should only come out during the ceremony and should be like, oh shit.
Precious jewel here, man. Him and fucking Woods, or it's done.
My favorite thing is during this crucifixion is when the cardinal cuts James Woods' thigh and then puts a chalice up to it, thus getting some gene juice out of James Wood.
Dude, I thought the same thing. This gene juice. Oh, God. Like, does that... Lord. I mean, I would assume for this reverse exorcism, you need fucking pure blood, man. Not some fucking dungaree dust in there.
Actually, in this part of the United States, we call it denim drink.
Look, I'm just a plasma connoisseur, okay?
Yeah.
Let me get some pop. Oh, you mean some blood out of James Woods' jeans? Oh, no, I guess you call it gene juice? Yeah, gene juice. I got that.
I love... There was one time in this movie where James Woods did make me laugh, and it's like... It's after the Padre has killed Maximilian Schell, and the Valak is like, oh, look, it's another priest, whatever. And like nothing is kind of happening. And then James Woods just goes, come on, Padre, my nuts are on fire here. Well, I guess it played funnier for me than you guys.
No, I actually have it on my notes here, and it's like my nuts are on fire, but then it says my nuts are on fire here in my notes, but I had read it trying to read back my chicken scratch. I was like, my nuts are a fine wine. And I'm like, was that a line from
the
movie?
Age well. He disrupts the thing. Yeah, the cardinal gets fucking his back blown out, which rules.
It's pretty great, dude. Maximilian Schell explodes.
That's the end of that character.
Go ahead,
Cabin.
And Tim Guinea. It's a great scene because Thomas Higgins is like, well, you're a padre. You come down here and do this thing or I'm going to kill him or I'm going to kill him. Either one. And then he's like, well, I mean, I don't want him to die, but fucking it's between that and the end of the world. Like he actually has that opinion. He's like, yeah. Why the fuck would I do that? Why would I ever do that?
He threatens to fucking commit suicide with that shotgun, which is pretty crazy.
I mean, it's the right move there. Yeah, but it is dumb stakes at this point, pun intended.
It pretty much is. I mean, and then in a weird instance where I'm like, wait, so how long was this fucking ceremony taking? Like the sun starts rising again. Well, and I'm like, wait, what?
Well, no, they actually say at some point, because that was the same thing. I was like, you want to give yourself some buffer, guys. But no, the ceremony has to climax with the rising of the sun. That's how this shit works.
Okay, fair enough. But like when this whole sequence starts, when they're like, when Valak is like, hey, Jack, from behind.
Yes.
The sun is just right then setting.
Well, they knock him out. I think they just kind of hang out,
Put
on a couple records.
Yeah, some Doobie Brothers.
Hell yeah, dude.
Be kind of great.
I'm a big fan of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Not that disgusting Neil Young, though.
His solo career was
there is a thing. It's kind of funny. Valak's trying to like grab at this cross. He can't get it. We have a James Woods line as we start to fight this guy where he goes, hey, Valak, after 600 years, how's that dick working? And I was like, what is your obsession? And it's such a dumb thing to give a character.
I think he's compensating for something.
Possibly.
Sure.
He's compensating for being fucking James Woods.
So, yeah, and then Daniel Baldwin shows up, and they're like, they start fucking fighting everybody. This is when you, and it kind of happens really fast. And again, I'm happy for this movie to end, but like it happens really fast. It's Valak v. James Woods in this barn. And I'm like, also Valak, go underground. You know the sun's rising.
Yeah, jump in that fucking jail or whatever. But yeah, it's you're right, Steve. It is kind of, it feels like it's done in haste. And I wonder if there was some sort of cut situation, because like James Woods just pushes this column over and the ceiling falls in and Valak just is cooking up. It's yeah, that's the end of it.
It's not even a fake out or anything like that. I'm sorry, Chris.
I was just going to say, it's extremely anticlimactic.
Yes.
Like, you imagine this fight is going to go on for a while and it's just like, oh yeah, I just throw myself at this fucking pillar and that's it.
Yeah. And also, Steve, to your point too, there isn't any like surprise scare or comeback or anything.
And also you kind of expect the priest to have his own mini adventure while this is going on. You don't even to make it feel a bit bigger, but no, the priest is just kind of done.
Yeah, he's just kind of hanging.
I mean, his character is so underutilized, and it's like, why is he even here? What is like? I know he's like bait at some points, and he adds a little plot detail of like, well, this is what Valak is really trying to do, but
right.
I don't know. He just felt tabled.
He totally did.
And Daniel Baldwin is just kind of dying. Cheryl Lee was a full vampire for a while. He like knocks her out a little bit, right? Is that how it
happens? Yeah. There's some gross fucking vampire kissing going on.
Oh, I mean,
his saving of James Woods was kind of fun when he shoots the cross with the pickup truck's retractable metal wire to drag James Woods out of this ceremony to safety. And then he just has this standoff with James Woods where he's just like, yeah, all right, fuck yeah, I'm a vampire, right? But give me 2 days to go on vacation.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much it. You know, he's like, I really need a vacation. You know, I want to get out of here with my new vampire lady friend. And James Woods is like, all right, you have 2 days notice and then I'm coming to kill you. And in the meantime, I'm going to hang back here with Padre, kill some vampires, talk about some dicks, you know?
Well, it's kind of weird. Like, you know, I'm a vampire hunter. That's what I do. I take care of vampires. Yeah, you can go and kill, like, I don't know, 20, 30 people for the next couple of days.
I think his motivation here is like, well, you know, we killed Valak, which was like the big, big, big master vampire. That probably took out a bunch of people. So, hey, start up some more. I need work, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Drum up some business.
He said Vatican gold coming.
Yeah, look, Montoya, honestly, as long as they're quote-unquote vampires, I'll kill them. You know, there could be any kind of quote-unquote vampires.
Well, why don't you bite some dogs and rats and I can kill those and bill the Vatican?
And I mean, it seriously ends with this Casablanca-esque new friendship between the two of them, you know, and they're like trading. They're on the opposite side of a dialogue they had earlier in the film where
it's an erection joke. He's like, oh yeah, when you hey, Padre, I gotta ask you, when you were fighting that when you shot that colonel, did you get any wood? And he's like, oh yeah, man, I got fucking mahogany.
Totally. It's like in a Pauly Shore movie when another character who's not Pauly Shore starts speaking in Pauly Shoreese.
Yeah, and he ends up naming other wood like teak, and then he says Major Chubby.
Oh, dude, yeah, Major Chubby, get out of here.
You're in your fucking 40s. What are you talking about erections with your buddies for?
Fucking Mary J. Blige's Real Love starts playing. They fucking talk about their dicks to each other.
And it just, I mean, that's it. That's the end of the movie. It goes to credits. The best credit of the movie, though, because, of course, it's a Carpenter movie. He's doing his own music. You guys catch the name of this band?
No.
Oh, it's, dude, it's John Carpenter and the Texas Toad Lickers.
That sounds right. Because it is a twangy, ba-wang-a-wang-wang guitar, ba-bang-a-wow-wow.
I'm much more of a fan of his fucking synth work, dude, I have to say.
Agree. Absolutely. Agree.
But like my favorite thing of this it's almost in every single Carpenter movie. You know, you'll have like a bracket of like these were like bike riders or toughs or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And this one, it's hookers. And there's like 9 names listed.
Hey man, it's just an honor to be cast in a John Carpenter.
I will say that motel party, highlight of the film.
Yes.
Oh, sure, dude. It doesn't get any sleazier than that. And that's my opening line about stale beer. You can smell it coming off the screen. It's great. Would anybody recommend this movie is the real question of the evening,
gentlemen. I would say no, only for two reasons. One, I think that the first 25-ish minutes are okay. It feels like a bad comic book for that time. And I'm like, I could get with that. but you just want to be watching From Dusk Till Dawn. It's the same era. The vampires are really similar. High-octane action vampire stuff. It's a much better movie. Not that movie's great. I haven't watched it in a little bit, but like that's the movie I saw like 100 times as a kid. Right. Yeah, it just, it doesn't work for me as a movie. It just, after that 25 minutes, I am out. So that's, and Daniel Baldwin and James Wood. So yeah.
Eric Siska.
I would agree that From Dusk Till Dawn is a better film. I also haven't seen it in a long time, so maybe I'm full of shit. but I could see an angle of this movie being hangover territory. Mm-hmm. You could pass out for a while. You won't miss any of the mysticism or what the fuck's going on, because it does have that sloggy middle.
Yeah.
I would kind of say, if you're like, oh, this is going to be your banner movie of the night, you're drinking and having a good time, I would say no. But if the morning after, I would say put it on.
Excellent. Chris Cabin?
I would recommend it. But I put it as this. I love looking at John Carpenter movies. Like, I've seen, I like the way he directs movies. I like the feel of his movies. So it's lesser him for sure. I think it's a little better than something like Village of the Damned, which is only interesting for its casting. And it's, you know, it gives me what I want from a vampire movie pretty much.
Daniel Baldwin.
Daniel Baldwin. I think Daniel Baldwin and Woods work in this movie for the most part. I wish they had some balance with other characters, but hey, I get what I get.
I kind of agree with you a little bit there. And I feel like this is the best I've seen Daniel Baldwin be.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I would recommend this movie. You know, this most, I want to say I rewatched this maybe like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. But yeah, watching for the show, I'm always a little more critical. It still more or less holds up for me. I don't think it's a perfect movie. It is annoying watching James Woods in anything now. But I do think, you know, Chris, just like you said, he works here. I think Daniel Baldwin also works here. I do wish though there was just more of a team than the two of them and Cheryl Lee.
I want the movie that the beginning is. You know what I mean?
Like
that,
yes, exactly. That's why I was saying, like, I want a prequel of this. You know what I mean? Where it is just like this team fucking doing shit. And again, we did the same thing on Queen of the Damned, and I'm gonna do it right here. Another movie where there's a little bit of a vampire hunting team is Dracula 2000.
Right.
Yeah. Better movie, just a little bit.
The start of this movie kind of reminded me of Twister, which I caught part of on TV recently. Yep. And it's like, that's kind of an interesting concept that vampire hunting would be modernized to the point we're using gadgets, we're doing this, we have a huge team, we're going out and we're doing it.
Right.
And it would be something, I feel. Like, I mean, this movie's still fine, boilerplate fine, but
Eric, can I ask you, have you seen Excessive Force? Because you're the Thomas Ian Griffith head in the room.
No, I do not know if I have. Oh, that movie title sounds familiar, because every action movie ever made is also called Excessive Force.
Let me tell you about this godsend of a movie. 87 minutes.
I like that.
Thomas,
so far so good.
R-rated. Thomas Ian Griffith is the lead, karate kicking the shit out of everybody. And let me tell you about five people cast next to him. Lance Henriksen, James Earl Jones, Tony Todd, Burt Young, and Anthony Caron, who you might not know, but you know who, you've seen him before.
I just pulled up the Wikipedia, and it looks great. It's got a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. I am
in.
Just a quick Daniel Baldwin thing, by the way. Has anyone seen Family of Cops with Charles Bronson?
No.
Sucks ass.
Yeah, it's not a good one. I was just gonna recommend to stay away, because I know we've been Bronsoning a lot during this quarantine. It's not one you want to check out.
Oh my god, I just went to Daniel Baldwin's Wikipedia page, and the photo is him like at the airport. It's hilarious. He looks like fucking shit.
His IMDb photo itself, though, is him in front of a step and repeat at some sort of Sopranos premiere.
Why isn't it him at the airport? It's in front of the Delta terminal. What
dude,
the fuck's happening?
It is, right? That is the Delta terminal. And by the way, thrice divorced.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, well, nobody's perfect. That is John Carpenter's Vampires, directed by the king of screaming himself, John Carpenter.
Five children, Daniel Baldwin.
God, nobody cares this much about Daniel Baldwin, dude. The show's over with.
Welcome to Daniel Baldwin podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Right into another episode. If you want more We Hate Movies, though, hang on this feed for new episodes every Tuesday, along with every Monday and Thursday during the quarantine. We are releasing Melrose 210, our recap show of Beverly Hills 90210, and Melrose Plays. And of course, over on our Patreon, there's endless more content. Patreon.com/
including John Carpenter's The Fucking Thing. I'm so excited for it.
Woo! That's right. We're going to do a We Love Movies episode on The Thing. That's at the $5 level. At the $8 level, you get so much more. Go check that out. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. And next Tuesday, we will be back with an all new episode. Steve Sadak, what will we be slogging through then?
We're bringing a dear friend back. Also, connecting via quarantine. We're bringing people together. Jamel Bowie of the New York Times is coming back on the show.
Yes. What are we talking about?
And I'm going to say it's his fault because he wanted to do Raw Deal.
Yes. Arnold. Dude, we're going back to Arnold.
Pre-recommend. Check it out before we do that episode.
Low-key, one of my favorite Arnolds.
Yes.
There you go. So until next week, where we are talking Raw Deal with Jamel Bowie over the internet, that is. He is not going to be in studio because there is no studio. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Daniel Podwin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.